Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Right here tonight on Truthful Tuesdays that is presented on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I'm so excited. I'm just getting all my words twisted up. So you share in the joy with me tonight, and I appreciate that so much. Tuesdays are always such a special night because I have the absolute best guest in the world that agree to share their time and energy with us and the things that they're most passionate about. So, man, I just get so excited that they have enough in them to share with us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And so, you know, there's a couple of things that we do before we get into the show. And the very first thing that we do each week, each Tuesday night, is that we start our show off by giving thanks to our ancestors, all the ancestors, man, they paved the way for us. And so for that, we stand in a place of continual gratitude and continual thanks to them. We know that the ancestors are always with us as long as we're calling on them for their help and for their assistance, their guidance, their words of wisdom. I mean, they are there for us. So we thank you, ancestors. And we know that we stand on your shoulders for strength and courage, fortitude, wisdom, all of that that we need to live a good and fruitful life. So, ancestors, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight we're talking about a potter's heart. And our amazing guest, you guys are just going to love her. Her name is Deanne Hodge. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her in just a moment. But let me just go over some housekeeping tips with you. Audience, you're always welcome to be a part of the discussion live on air with us if you so choose. Our number to call in is 516-531-9819. And the only way that you will be put on air is if you want to be put on air and by letting us know that you would just push 1 on your dial so that we know that you want to speak live on air with us. To ensure the best possible playback, we would ask that if your line is open that you mute your phone when you are not speaking out loud. So that just ensures that we have the best quality of playback. A lot of our listeners do like to go back and listen to the shows over and over again. So that's the only request, is that if I open up your line, because I normally don't shut you down unless I am getting a lot of background noise. So, and if you ever want to go back and listen to any of our shows, you can do so by logging in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, and that's S-A-N-D-Y-R-O-D-G-E-R-S. And so thank you for being with us again, and I'm so excited to bring this young lady on. But before we do that, I'm going to play a quick bit of music for you, and then when we come back, we're going to get right into our show. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We call this Truthful Tuesdays, and you'll soon find out why. So listen to the music, and we'll be right back. Madonna called Pick Somebody Up. And that's what our guest, Deanne Hodge, I think that's her life theory or her life theme. And so we're going to get with her very, very soon. So you are listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So welcome back. And I tell you, this lady is such an incredible individual. She's worked with children. She's worked in mental health. She's a Navy veteran. She's worked with people with substance abuse issues, teens and youth and at-risk youth, and the list just goes on and on where her passion and where her love of humanity, where it all flows from. And so it is what a great, great, great deal of pleasure that I introduce you guys to Miss Deanne Hodge and her love. She has wrapped it up and called it a potter's heart. How about that? A potter's heart. Welcome, Deanne.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, everyone out there in radio land.
There you go.
How you doing?
I told
Candy?
Her we were just going to have some fun on the radio tonight. So
I like fun, so sure.
There you go. We need some these days, right?
You sure do.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. What you been doing in this lifetime?
I'm just trying to keep my head down, but it seems like the more I try to keep it down, somebody always try to make me pop it up. But I ain't been doing much. Just trying to stay afloat and do my best to give back as much as I can.
Is there anything that prompted you to take that to take the road that you're on in life? As far as this special energy that you have around helping at-risk youth?
Well, Sandy, funny story. Like you stated, I was in the Navy. I was in the Navy 14 years. And
wow.
Never thought I would end up here. When I got out of the military, it was like, okay, what do I do? And I'm going to tell you how I started on this path. I was home one day, and the phone rang, and I picked up the phone, and there was this lady on the other end that says, do you want to go to college, and blah, 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 and I was like, sure. So then she explained certain things to me. She asked me, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I don't know. I just got out of the military, you know. So she said, what are you passionate about? I said, I like helping people. And she was like, oh, okay, so why not go to school for psychology? And the journey began. So that's how my journey began. I've always loved people and helping people and seeing people at their best. I'm a person that will make sure when I get information to always share, because I always want people to be their best self, the best version of them. And so being in this field here has opened my eyes up to a lot of things, being passionate about knowing that people are different and they come from different walks of life, but we kind of basically want the same thing, you know, is to be successful in the things that we do, have good families, good relationships, and those kinds of things. And yes, life does throw us those curves, and so it's being able to how to manage through those curves. So that's kind of how I got where I'm at today.
So you just had a stranger put on your path to help you to get to your destination, right? I think that's awesome.
Yes, and it was such this random lady, because I wasn't thinking about, I knew I wanted to go to college and things like that, but, you know, being in the military so long, you know, the thing that you think will happen most is to use those skills that you have learned and translate them to the civilian life. But that's, I took a different path. You know, usually I'm the person that usually goes against the grain, so to speak, because when I joined the military, women weren't prevalent in the military, and women were just starting to get into the military. So it's a lot of things. I chose the male dominant field when I joined the military because I wanted to be able to decide what I wanted for my life, and I enjoyed every moment. I loved being in the military. I loved the Navy. I loved serving my country, and so I had an awesome time. But when I got out, I knew I had to find something that was gonna give me some kind of fulfillment. And also, you know, being a mechanic in the military kind of tore up my body too. So I knew I couldn't do that for too long.
Wow. So you, as a mechanic, did what? Worked on the ships or the aircraft or?
I was a jet mechanic. I worked on aircraft.
Wow.
Yes.
Awesome.
You know, the strength of us, people always say that, wow. And sometimes I think, that's just what normal people do. But I guess.
No, but you know, it's like, I'm sure that there's somebody listening that would love to have done something like that, but they didn't have the courage, the audacity to even think about doing something like that. I would have loved that, but it just never crossed my mind as something, you know, that was out there and available. And I, like you, I consider myself one of those people that think outside the box, and I don't want to do, you know, what girls are supposed to do or women are supposed to do. I want to do what I want to do because I want to do it. But that, I mean, to me, it's extremely interesting, so...
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so what kept you in for 14 years?
The military in itself is, I love the travel. I love meeting new people. The whole experience of it that kept me that long. It was a really great experience. I know some people have horror stories and things like that. I don't have anything. I tell people the military came at the perfect time. I was able to gain a lot of knowledge and skills, meet tons and tons of awesome people, and travel to different countries. So how else, what else can be better?
That's cool. Did the traveling any at all help you to define what it was that you wanted to do with your life, like when you got out, you know, having those experiences of various cultures and being outside of, I guess, the normal or the norm living conditions for most people, you know, because a lot of people don't live from the home state that they're born in. I think that's particularly true for women who have a tendency to stay pretty close to home. So then here you are, you know, not only were you in the service, but you did a lot of traveling. You had a very unique and unusual position. How did all of those experiences contribute to the person that you are today?
Well, I guess with meeting different people, because one of the things, like you just stated, is that I wasn't born and raised in the United States. So I came from a whole different life and culture. I was born and raised in the Caribbean, so I came here with certain values and certain things that I thought and held true. And when I started to travel and saw different people and different cultures and interact with different people, I recognized that my point of view is not always the only point of view. And so being able to learn different things from different people was really a good experience for me.
Great. And, you know, I sometimes laughing because I do have a tendency to say that most Americans do think that, you know, our way is the only way, and if you don't do it that way, then something's wrong with you. So thank you for making me remember that. But so it is better to go around, you know, or to move around in the world with being open to receiving, you know, what others have to say and, you know, their contributions and things like that. So you go to college. Go ahead.
Yeah, I say yes, and it helps you to grow, and you won't be in that one position all the time thinking that that's how it is. I personally had to learn that. I know that people are different, they have different points of views, they see things differently, and different doesn't mean bad, it just means different.
Yeah. Great point. Great point. So you go to college, and your decision to work with children, was that something that you consciously made a decision to do, or did you, like the phone call, did that kind of be given to you as well, or how did you decide to...
Well, the decision to work with children and things, kind of the thing that follows me. I recognize that young people are always in my life, no matter where I go. Even when I was in the military, and I was stationed in Guam, a little island in the Micronesian Islands, and I was always with young people. Wherever I go, they were always at. I was a part of the youth ministry. I was all young people just seems to gravitate to me. And so when I was in school, I recognized that, you know, we have a lot of adults today, and but they may be adult physically, but maybe still children mentally. And so kind of recognizing, like, how can I help children and teens, especially young people, be able to work through those things that they may be facing, either physically, mentally, emotionally, things that they may experience in their environments or their families and things like, so that they can translate to be successful adults that don't have all these mental health issues and things like that, or substance use issues and things like that. And so one of the things I recognize that our youth struggled a lot without the guidance, proper guidance, that is, for them to be able to translate into healthy adults. And so after going through classes after classes, I realized that that was where my passion was it always ended up back with young people. And so that's where I started my career with, is working at a clubhouse where for school age children from elementary all the way to high school. And so I got to see youth in different stages and recognize some of the issues and things that they struggle with. And it's fascinating to see sometimes, like when you see some of the adults, you can look at kids and see, okay, sometimes this is where they're stuck at because for whatever reason or whatever thing happened in their environment or in their life, that's kind of where they got stuck at. And so with this, being able to kind of help them through those things, because we have to be able to grow one way or the other. And one of the things I recognize and a lot of things I heard in school is about, you know, kids getting caught up for whatever reason, you know, because people, we always think that we have bad kids, and there's not bad kids, you know. There are things happened, reason why either they act out or whatever. And sometimes it's the parents that have bad parenting or whatever. So it's being able to kind of catch them, like I used to tell them, it's kind of catch them when they're young. They have a saying, you know, bend the tree when it's young. So kind of catch them in the stage where you can be able to teach and mold them, and so that they can be able to correct some of those things, some of those maladaptive things, and be able to grow into successful adults. That's kind of my passion, is to be able to see them live their true self and their best selves.
And I like your attitude toward it, and your approach to it is that you're not looking for somebody to be at fault. And I hear that a lot, you know, as we justify the reason why we do what we do, you know, where there's no bad kids, but there are bad parents. But you didn't say that, you know. It's like, well, that could be, but, you know, then too, you know, it could be various reasons. So I appreciate how you look at it.
Yeah, there's a plethora of things happening why people struggle with the things that they struggle with. 9 out of 10 times, it's never that one thing. It's usually a whole bunch of different things that equates to people having issues with mental health, substance use, homelessness, or whatever the case may be.
And it could just be that the child, it could be hormonal, correct, or
mm-hmm. yeah.
something that's not even attached to the parent, but
right.
something that has occurred in the child's life, yeah. And that's important to keep a note of as well, because, you know, a lot of parents will beat themselves up and try to overcompensate for
mm-hmm.
their children's attitudes, behaviors, and, you know, and how they relate to others in the world, when it's not really about them. It's more the
right.
child. But I like how you approach it. You know, it's about whatever the contributing factors are to that person not living up to their full potential. So,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you still work with children now, or have you continuously worked with children? Did you break it up and, you know, get a little bit more experience in other areas, or how did your work experience flow?
Well, I currently work in a program that's service African American women with a substance use issue to put them at risk of HIV and AIDS. So I switched over because one thing I've recognized in the field that I am, you don't want to get pigeonholed into one thing. So it's being able to be broad. So I'm trying to get back to child and adolescents because that's where I feel that I need to be, and that's where my passion is. Dealing with these women have taught me a lot. Like I said, being able to see their struggles and understand their journey. And so
mm-hmm.
being able to try to help them to make better decisions and things like that, that won't put them at certain risk. And so currently I'm not working with children and adolescents in a professional area, but in my personal life, because I'm one of the youth leaders at my church, so I interact with young people every week. And so there are, like I say, young people is always a part of my life somewhere, somehow.
That's great. What do you find with working with children to be their biggest need? And has those needs changed when you consider the conditions that we're living under currently?
I think, and this is my opinion, I think no matter who you are or what child you are, you kind of basically need, it all starts with the love of whoever is taking care of you, whether it's your parents, grandparents, because that kind of helped to bridge a lot of the things that maybe the financial pieces that happen in your life or whatever. The love that you have for your child or your children or whatever. I think kids need a lot of love. They need a lot of structure to be able to make good decisions. And if we are in predicaments or in situations where I think we may not be able to provide every aspects of those things, is that we find other people to be able to replace those pieces. Because For instance, you know, I'm a single mother. I have two awesome young men. They are adults now. Sometimes it's strange to think that I have two adult kids.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Yes. And so it's being able to say, because me being a single mother, no, there's only certain things that I would be able to give to my kids. I can do all, but there's certain aspects and certain things and traits that I won't be able to teach them as being
mm-hmm.
a woman and certain things. So I had to make sure that I included in their life people who will be able to add those pieces to it. So
correct.
The thing is that when raising children, a lot of times we think we have to do it on our own. But it's being able to find that support system so you can be able to be there for your kids in every area that you may not be able to provide. So it's, I think that's being able to look at it in that way, knowing that, okay, you know, once upon a time we say you should take a community, it still takes a community.
Right.
We kind of strayed a little way from that, but it still takes a community, because I had to recognize that there are things I'm not going to be able to teach. There are things that my kids may not be able to accept because I'm a woman and I'm their mother. But being able to understand that there are pieces that they need to be able to learn, and so being able to find those people and those places and those things that will help them to have all the pieces of the puzzle. It doesn't say that I have to have all the pieces of the puzzle, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so would you say that those have, has there been any changes that you've noticed with the children or the youth, let's call them youth, since the quarantine situation has happened? You know, like is it more direction that's needed, more guidance in, you know, how to use the gifts that they have, or, you know, learning skills to cope with not being out in the public? I'm just wondering, you know, how the kids have been affected with the current situation that we're living up under.
I think that kids are affected because this change is inevitable, one thing. And I think for younger kids, it's something to adapt to, because, you know, they may be used to be playing with other kids and things like that. And so as parents and families and those things, with this change, we have to kind of change with it. There's not much that we can do now with the way things are in the world and the way the world is going with the online learning, not being able to be with your friends or whatever. It do affect kids, because with going to school and things like that, they practice their social skills and things like that. They practice how to interact with each other. So it's a lot different with being online. So with all these changes, we are going to have to find things to fill in the gaps. We are going to, as caretakers, is going to have to be more vigilant. This is now the time that we can't just say, okay, go ahead and just let them be. So it's being able to constantly be checking on them to seeing, okay, how they're doing, how they're managing with being isolated so much, finding different things to keep them engaged in interacting with other people. So helping them to learn those social skills, build skills that that may have been taught at school or someplace else, and being able now to learn those things. So some of us as parents are going to have to be able to now get to a point where we can be honest to say, okay, you know, I might not know how to do this or that, and be able to reach out and get other resources and things, because it's a learning curve for a lot of us. It's a learning curve for a lot of us. So with all these changes, I think it's being very vigilant in the things that kids are getting involved in, with the social media and things like that. It's being more vigilant in monitoring the things that they do, and also exposing them to new things. This is a great time to find out what their gifts and talents are, things
that
may have been hidden because they've been out there doing a lot of things. So, yes, kind of be watching to see what the things that they gravitate to and the things that they are good at, and to celebrate those things and encourage those things. You know, this is a time where a lot of us as parents is going to have to parent now. You know, we are going to be the one that's going to be there a lot more, you know. And for those that are a little older, is helping them to gain responsibilities, teaching them the things that they need to learn, you know, the basic skills, and how, okay, have a conversation with your child. This is how you have a conversation with people, figuring out, okay, if you need to buy something, these are the things that you may need to do. I think with all the changes, it's kind of causing us, making us be more attentive to the things that is going on in our households and in
yes.
with the people that's involved in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, those are great points that you're making, especially helping a child to identify what, you know, they enjoy doing or, you know, what they are passionate about. Because like you said, you know, like when the schedule is filled with going to school and riding on the bus or going to school and staying in daycare afterwards. And so there's not a lot of exchange and interaction between the parents and child. So I've not quite looked at it the way that you just described it, which is truly makes it a very opportune time for the whole family, you know, for the child and the parents to come together and do more communicating. I like that whole approach there.
Being able to look at it as a positive and not a negative.
Right.
And I know,
right.
I know there are a lot of extensions. This pandemic and this situation has caused a lot, because there are parents that is one parent, and how am I going to take care of this child? Is it, so I think this is where now we have to really use our networking skills and those kinds of things to be able to ensure that our kids, who's going to be our future, are well taken care of, and so that they don't kind of fall through the cracks, and being able to recognize those signs when we see our kids might expressing or showing signs of different things, to be able to be watchful and be able to say, okay, what's going on, or seek help to say, well, my kid is doing X, Y, Z. What do you think? So, yes, it is really an opportune time to really kind of bridge the gap, because as time goes on, you know, that gap got to kind of big. And, you know, parents knew little and kids knew a lot, and we were on one side and they were on the other side. And so I think this is a time where this pandemic and everything that's going on has kind of helped to lessen the gap. And so we now have to be able to try to understand, okay, so we have to be able to have a conversation and being able to figure out and find out what's going on with them.
Excellent. What may be missing in that formula, though, is the parents having the skills in order to assist the child in, you know, their learning or their discovery of the new opportunities that they have that's facing them. So, perhaps this is the perfect for everybody involved, you know. So, like, the parent gets to define for themselves, you know, how they choose to do that, which may not be a standard form. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
Maybe that don't work for them, you know. So they're going to do it a different way. Perhaps this is the return of the village or the community helping to raise the children in the neighborhood. So, it's all what we make it.
It definitely is all what we make it. And, yes, and then for parents out there they're listening to know that, you know, you're not in this alone, you know. Know that there are people out there that is willing to help. And so reach out to your community, and you'll be able to find. The thing is that sometimes we feel like we should know it all, or sometimes we're timid that we don't know it, or we might be embarrassed that we don't have certain skills or whatever. I think this is the time when we use this opportunity to learn as much as we can and to be able to reach out to people that we may not have reached out with from before. So definitely I would encourage parents to reach out. This might be a time for you to learn a new skill or whatever it is, I think this is causing us to reinvent ourselves.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes, like for me right now, what I'm finding that's happening in my world is that my circle, my tribe is shifting. And some people, and it's not a bad thing, mm-hmm. but some people are shifting out, you know, and there are new people that bring me a different type of energy that are moving in. Mm-hmm. And I was just noticing that earlier today, you know, like I had conversations with two brand new people. And when I got off the phone with them, I was just hyped up, you know, like, oh, my God, this is going to be so cool. You know, and again, it's nothing against the other individuals that are there but not as active in my life as they once were. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay mm-hmm. with it. You know, so we do mm-hmm. get a whole new chance to redefine who that circle of influence that are around us, who they are. And, mm-hmm. you know, perhaps, yeah, yeah. So I think that that's really a good thing that's going on.
It's seasons, You gotta go with the seasons, you know.
Mhm. Mm-hmm.
And be open to new things.
Yes, yes. Because, like you say, definitely that we're not living in the same time. That's for doggone sure, man.
We definitely not.
Yeah.
Now, who would have thought that your child be at home all year?
Yes.
Doing school.
Yeah.
No one really would have thought that. Would have been possible.
Right.
And
right.
I know there's many parents who's like, okay, school is coming, they're getting ready. And so now we have to shift our mindset. Okay, they're going to be home. What are we going to do? Those
mm-hmm.
kinds of things. So, yeah, it is a learning curve.
Yes, it is. It is. For us all. For us all. Okay. And like I said,
all.
And an opportunity for us to, you know, redefine who we are and to
yep.
take advantage of that. Because it may not ever come again, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
so talk to
Definitely.
Me about this passion, this love that you have to help at-risk youth. So help me to understand what you mean by that category, at-risk youth. And then let's talk about what plans you have to be a positive difference in the lives of those individuals.
Okay. So my passion, like I said before, is to see our young people be the best version of themselves. So being at risk for things like mental health issues, substance abuse, homelessness, and things like that, being able to be that in between to help to hold them when they may be vulnerable. Because a lot of our Catholic youth are at vulnerable stages in their lives. And so they sometimes just need someone to hold them in that space, not to judge them, not to define them, just to be there. And I want to be able to create that space where they can be who they are and learn to be productive citizens of this country or whatever they deem necessary. Be successful at it, you know, and knowing that their past don't have to define them, you know. We can always choose to change and do things differently. And so that's kind of where I'm at when it comes to at-risk youth and being able to just try new things, you know. There's a lot of things that are out there, and there's a lot of great things out there for youth and things like that. And so I just want to be able to give back because, like I said, I know I've had a great life, and not because it was easy. I grew up poor, I grew up with a single mother, and I think with the discipline and hard work, I'm able to be at the place that where I'm at. And I want young people to know that even though you may start at a place that may not seem fruitful, you can be fruitful. And sometimes it just takes that one person to change the whole trajectory of your life. And so hoping and praying that Potter's Heart would be that one place to be able to hold those young people in that space and point them and show them in a different direction. Yep.
So is your program aimed at like children that that graduates from like foster care, and they once they there's a special word for that, but anyway, once they age out of foster care, some or a lot, depending on how you look at it, there are quite a few of them that do not possess the skills to live on their own, and you know they've not been prepared. Would it be children that have had some issues with breaking the law? And
yes,
okay. I'm just
Potter's Heart is an organization that service youth either who are educated in the justice system, youth that are in foster care and aging out or in DFACS custody. These kids may have been in some form of trouble, and they want to be able to make better decisions. So Potter's Heart is a transitional home for at-risk youth for boys 13 through 19. So this program will be like a two-year program where they can come and gain the skills and knowledge to be able to make better decisions for their life. So this will be a home where they will live full-time. They will, if they're of school age, they will be have the opportunity to go to school. If they're not of school age, so say between 17 and 19, so help them with either finishing their high school diploma or get their GED, gain job skills, gain skills to be able to interpersonal skills and those kinds of things. So once a person has gone through our program, at the end of it, they'll be able to have a sure footing that once they go out to the world, they'll be able to know either already have a job, how to get an apartment, or how to find a job. They will have the skills to be able to successfully carry on with their lives. So being able to help them to know that you may be at this stage right now, but that doesn't have to be your path. Because one of the things I've recognized with going through all this is that a lot of our youth who have been, especially our African-American males who have been in the system, tend to repeat. And so one of the goals of our agency is to eradicate recidivism, is to make it a way that once they come out there, learn these skills, and they'll be able to make different choices. Because what I've found sometimes is that some of the programs that we have, which are some of them are really great, the kids go through and they gain all these skills and the knowledge, and then once they leave, many of them go back either to the same environment and not with support and those kinds of things to be able to help them to continue on that path that they have gained in that 6-month program or whatever. So the hope is that for the 2 years that the youth is in this program, meaning 18 months will be for the whole program, and then 6 months after would be like aftercare to making sure that we connect them with resources, helping them to find a new job or if they need an apartment, or so connecting them with all those resources that they would need to help them to be successful. So that's kind of basically how Potter's Heart with is, and that's our goal, is that we will eradicate a lot of the issues that are facing our young people, like substance use, you know, mental health issues, homelessness, so that you can be able to get a place where you can work on your mental health issues or your substance use issues. You'll have a place to live for a year and a half to 2 years, and so you'll be able to learn these skills. You know, one of the motto for our Potter's Heart is a family environment, so to be able to come in and be a part of a family that helps you and teaches you a lot of these skills that some of them may not have learned, because either they were in the foster care system or in juvenile detention or whatever the case may be, or maybe even if they have lived at home, but they may have parents who weren't able to teach them those skills for whatever reason. So if they happen to get into the system or be homeless or whatever the case may be, they have a place where they can land and gain sure footing to be able to be successful as they grow on into their earlier years.
Love the outline of that, yeah. So where are you in the process of creating this safe haven for the youth?
So we're in the process of, I finally created my book. This process is teaching me a lot, and I appreciate it, OMG. And I just created my board. I have a group of awesome individuals that I know will definitely be instrumental in helping this organization grow. I appreciate each and every one of them. The ins and outs is a lot to learn, because, you know, I'm new at all of this, but I'm a person that's willing to learn, and I thank God that He has put people in my life that is willing to teach. And so it's a good collaboration, and so I appreciate each and every one. So we are getting ready to have our first meeting and come up with plans of how and when we want to launch this. Potter's Heart will be in Gwinnett County.
Okay.
So that's the area we'll be serving currently. The goal is to, my vision for Potter's Heart is to become as like a campus style agency where we don't just service males, but males and females, you know. So starting, because all youth needs help, whether male or female. But I feel at the moment that our African-American males need a lot of attention with everything that's going on. And so being able to start with that population, then broaden the horizon. And being able to not just be in Gwinnett County, but across the state of Georgia and who knows where else. So that's my goal, my vision. It's so that Potter's Heart will be in different places serving this population that really needs it. Because our youth is our future. And we have to do everything that we can to help them to be at a place where they can make sound decisions and be able to manage the turmoils of life. And that's some of them struggle with those things, because being a young person in this day and age is not easy. It's not easy. I know I had to learn, because I had kids, and you figure, you know, what do they have to stress about? You know, they go to school, they eat all the food, they run up the electricity bill. So what do they have to? But when you sit and you listen to the things that they struggle with, the self-esteem issues, the peer pressure, failure, fear of success, those kinds of things, when you really sit and listen to them, they have a lot of things that is going on. And so being able to help them to kind of work through all those things and have them to know it's okay. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. And especially with our males, is let them know that you don't have to carry the world on your shoulder all the time. You know, sometimes you can be the bum one, and it's okay. It's okay not to know. It's okay to feel sad or whatever the emotions that you're going to feel. But being able to know that even with that emotion, whether you're happy, sad, or mad, or whatever the case may be, that when you choose to respond or react, that you do it in a manner that will keep you safe and a manner that you will still accomplish the goals that you need to accomplish.
So you just had the vision and knew what it was that you wanted to accomplish. And the universe then responded and began giving you what you needed to keep it going.
Kind of saw that. I'm saying, I thank God. God give me, for some weird reason, it's just that because everywhere I go, there was always young people, and they were always coming to say, Deanne, this, what do you think about it? And sometimes they're like, why? I mean, with all the people that's around. But then I realized that it kept coming. It was always the same thing over and over. What is it that you're going to do? What is it going to do? And then when I went to school, I realized the things that I wrote about in school. I wrote about the struggles that young people was having and how to help them and those kinds of things. And then it was like, okay, so what are you going to do? And this is where I'm at.
Awesome.
Being able to try my best to give back and leave an impact, because you know the thing about it, I was a young person one time and somebody
right.
impacted me, and here I am today. So I'm trying to make sure that I pay it forward so that one of these young people will be able to impact the world in a positive manner. Who knows,
mm-hmm.
be the next president of the United States, who knows, be the next inventor of something great. You know, because we don't know what's inside our young people until we tap into that and make our space where they can grow and be able to show their gifts and talents. You know, they may not get it right
mm-hmm.
the first time, because I know none of us, I know I didn't get it right the first time. If you ask my mother,
I mean, but look, we're
still
trying to get it right.
Get it right.
Get it right.
Yes. And so
we're still working on getting it right. Yeah.
From some of those mistakes and those things, and try to help them to get it. And knowing that, you know, they're not always going to take everything. I've noticed with some of the young people that I've encountered is that you may think they're not listening, but they are.
Yeah.
Because if
yeah.
you see it as time goes on, you can see, okay, you know, that one thing I said clicked, and or that one thing I pointed out, they took note of it. As being able
mm-hmm.
to love them where they at, meet them where they at, you know.
Right.
Right. If they're good at a thing, you'd be like, hey, you know, I saw you do this thing and it was great. What do you think you can do with it? What do you think about this? You know, just being able to support them. And that's my biggest thing, to be able to support them, because somebody supported me. And so that's
exactly.
how I'm going to be as a support to them.
And, you know, I still believe that action speaks louder than words. So, you know, your actions and your words must match. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
you got to walk the talk and talk your walk
yes.
so that, you know, they can see exactly what that looks like. So, you know, if you're teaching cooperation and love and harmony, but you're picking
mm-hmm.
a fight or you're tearing people apart,
right.
you know, with every action that you're doing, then there's inconsistency. So
mm-hmm.
we have to be consistent with our children. They're looking. And
yes,
like you said, Deanne, they may not, you know, be voicing everything, but they're getting it. They're getting that
yeah.
a cellular level, actually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and with
yeah.
one thing I recognize with young people, they, and that's why I love them too. That is that they keep you honest, because they gonna check you. You remember
uh-huh.
when they gonna check you, so you have to.
Exactly.
I know I have to always kind of keep on my toes, because you never know what they're gonna come with, and so
yeah,
I
like I said, they're looking,
that
they're checking you out. 25,
they
keeping
25, you honest.
8.
Yeah, they keeping you honest, because you have to I recognize with young people, you have to be true to your word. You have to be able to say, you know what, this is what I can do, and do your darnest best to do that, because they're going to be expecting that. And so that is the kind of thing, is let our words kind of be our bond, because they're expecting that. They're looking, especially when they trust in you and they hold what you say or what you do to heart, you've got to be able to hold them and know that it's fragile and they're fragile, and knowing that, okay, you know, if I say I'm going to do this or I'm going to ask, like you said, if I'm going to ask them to do a certain thing, then I'm going to have to be willing to do it too. So.
Yes. And that's one of those lessons that we get to learn as adults, you know, as mentors, as helper to these children, is that our words and actions, man, they've got to match up, or you're teaching confusion, you know. You're serving as a source of confusion for the children. Well, we're at 10 o'clock, and so we've completed our first hour, and we're down to 30 minutes left in the show. We've got one caller that's wanting to comment. So let me just remind the audience, our call-in number is 516-531-9819. And if you push 1 on the dial, it will alert us that you want to speak live on air with us. You can ask a question, make a comment, just support Deanne Hodge and her project, or ask her questions, whatever it is. So you're welcome to be a part. You know, if there's not a lot, then we'll continue on with the conversation. But I just wanted to let you know that that is the process to talk live on air with us. And so this is one of our regular callers. Miss Madeline is calling from Arizona. So welcome to the show, Madeline.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here and support you, Sandy, because I love you so much.
Thank you.
And
love you.
When you said about people in your life, Sandy, who some have kind of filtered themselves away, and then new people come in, and you recognize that when your energy coexists on a cellular level, that you get really excited, because when you described it, you got very excited about this conversation you had with this new person, friend.
Yeah.
And, right? And I also have my soul and my heart and my spirit connected with the young people, being that when they're recognized for being who they are, rather than the old paradigm of a child being told to be quiet, to have them have their voice, it's, to me, it's mandatory to find out what it is that they love doing. And no matter how old we are, how many years we've been on this planet, when I meet someone new, one of my first questions is, what were you passionate about when you were a little kid?
Mm.
And people say to me, nobody has ever asked me that before. And I said, well, I'm glad I'm the first. So what is it that you were passionate about when you were a little kid? And it's amazing how watching their body language, looking to see what they were passionate about when they were a little kid. It's fascinating. Life is totally fascinating. And this time out that we're in, that's what I call it, a time out, is really allowing us to go introspective, to find out who we are and what we're made of. You know, people who had been used to being away from home for 10 hours, and then coming home and throwing some, you know, food at their kids, have an opportunity to really create a family. Some are and some aren't. God bless them all for their choices, truly. but it is a fascinating time out right now. Fascinating.
Good.
That's about that all I have
is.
To say.
Thank you so much, sis.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That's great.
Well, Deanne, we have two more callers. I'm going to bring them on. Did you have any comments for Madeline or?
No, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you so much, Madeline, for your comments.
I love that we're able to contribute to one another and support one another and to honor our choices. It's just a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you for being
here. Thank you. Thank you, sis. So our next caller is area code 470808. You want to give us your name and your contribution to what we got going on this evening.
Hi, Sandy. This is Tammy. How are you?
Hey, Tammy. I'm doing well.
Hey,
thank you very much for calling in.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Tammy.
Oh, hi there, Miss Deanne. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank
How
you.
Are you?
I'm blessed.
My
thank
question.
You.
All right. My question is this: when you said earlier in the beginning that your life has always been connected to young people, some form of fashion. When I think about young people and myself, wow, when I was a young person, what do you, oh my gosh, I'm gonna leave that one alone. But anyway,
Tammy's a good friend of mine, you guys. Go ahead, Tammy.
Tammy's my coworker. Yes.
What do you see that is a great, what is the difference between back then than now when it comes to how generations after generations have changed when it comes to young people? Is there, do you see a difference, or is some of the issues repeated issues, but it's more help today than it was at your age? Even though you were in the military, what is the difference between that you can see from when you first started out until now?
I think,
that make sense?
Yeah, to an extent. I guess from my point of view, I think children are more vocal now. Back then, you know, we were taught to be seen and not heard. And so with the vast amount of information that they have and have privy to, they are sometimes more vocal in the things that they want to know, everything's at their fingertips. And so it's a lot different, because back then, you know, you had to wait forever to get the simplest thing done. You were kind of told by your parents what to do. They shaped your whole world of like where you're going, who your friends are, and those kinds of things. To today, our youth have a plethora of things to entertain themselves. They are online 24/7. They are connected to all kinds of people, some good, some bad. And so with this new age is being, I think it's different because they have so much information and they are more vocal in the things that they want and need than once upon a time. And so now it's kind of being able to differentiate between the things that they're voicing as being, whether it's disrespectful or as it's something, or if they're trying to gain knowledge. Because a lot of times, some of us as parents, and I can take that for myself, is that, you know, because we were taught to be seen and not heard, that when our children voice their opinion or ask a question, we deem it as being disrespectful and not necessary as they wanting to gain some kind of information. And so in this day and age, we have to, as adults or parents or caregivers or whatever, we sometimes have to try to look at it from the child or young person's point of view, try to see where they're coming from, at least give them that respect to see where they're coming from. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And thank you. And Sandy, to you, everything, everybody you bring to the show, you just bring life to every situation, good, better, and different. And I thank you for that, my dear friend.
Oh, thank you. I love you, Tammy.
Love you,
yes,
Tammy.
Yes, yes. I love you guys.
Appreciate you.
I want to say something about Miss Tammy. I said Miss Tammy is my coworker, and Tammy is one of those people that is not afraid to connect you. She will put you in places where you think that you don't think that you deserve or want to be. And so this connection was by Miss Tammy. And so I've met Sandy before, but I love her spirit, and I love that she's not afraid to share her world with people. That's one of the things I told the other day, that you're comfortable with who you are, so you can share your world. Like, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I got.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate her. And thank you so much.
Yeah, she's a
thank
go-getter.
Thank you, guys. I'm off.
She is.
She's a go-getter. And thank you, Tammy. I agree with Deanne. You're such a positive role model, and courageous and brave and bold in what you do. And the world would not be the same without you. So we love you for that.
Sure won't.
Yep.
Oh, I love you guys more. Wow, Sandy, if we could tell our story, I guess we'll be.
That's why I'm laughing, Tampa. We're not going to tell it.
No, ma'am. Okay, well, thank you for answering. I'm off.
Okay, thank you. So we've got more caller. 914-406. You want to give us your name and your contribution to the conversation?
Good night, Sandy. How you doing? I just want to say my name is Tyrone.
Tyrone.
Hey, Tyrone. Emmanuel, and I love what you guys are doing here tonight. I just want to say I'm really into the conversation, and I think you guys are doing an amazing job.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Do you
my
have
question,
a question for question, for Miss Deanne, or?
I do. My question is for Miss Deanne. I want to know what's been her hardest struggle when working with at-risk youth.
What's my hardest struggle? I will be honest, with the youth that I've worked at, I think my hardest struggle was their parents, if that makes sense. Sometimes I get a youth and some of the things that their experiences or some of the behaviors they're portraying, once I meet the parent, it kind of comes full circle, can you be able to say. So that has been a big struggle sometimes with working with at-risk youth or youth in general.
Okay, and has that made you stronger? How has that made you stronger?
It's made me stronger in a way that to be able to trying to help and figure out, okay, how can I help this young person so that they don't continue on this path that they're on. I can't, like I tell a lot of young people, you know, you can't change your parents. They are who they are, but you can learn different skills and different tools so that you can be better at your life, because it is your life. And so it's kind of helped me to try to be able to try to dig deeper and try not just look at it from surface level, but to dig deeper and be able to try to help as best as I can, non-judgmentally.
Well, I really
Did
appreciate
I ask
you
a question?
It. You guys have really inspired me. I just want to say thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. right. That's the kind of conversations we need to have, you know, the real good questions, like, so what's up for real when you're out here working with the children? So we appreciate you, Mr. Tyrone, for bringing that question to us, which allowed Deanne to be able to let us know. Sometimes it's the hard-headed parents that's the problem. So, you know, she was real nice about it earlier, but she had to come on bring it out to us. So we appreciate you for doing that. So we've down to about 13 minutes left in the show, and I'm just going to make the announcement one more time. If you would like to speak live on air with us, you have a question, comment, or compliment for Miss Deanne, you can give us a jingle at 516-531-9819. Push 1 on your dial. That will alert us that you want to speak live on air with us. Otherwise, we're going to keep rolling along here. So, Deanne, in your process, so we've got one more caller. Let me open the line up here. Hold on 1 second. Okay, so it's caller 470514. Would you give us your name and your contribution to the conversation, please?
Hello, good night, everyone. My name is Keon Reed.
Keon.
Yes, it's been a great discussion. I'm doing wonderful. I just wanted to say thank you for the great hosting tonight. You did an awesome job. It was the first time on.
Yes.
I'm part of the board for Potter's Heart Foundation. And
yes.
Support.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. I really enjoyed this. I'm very proud of Deanne as well as the team. And for the work that we're going to do within our community and even as that expands. So the question that I do have for Deanne here, based on your discussion, you said that, you know, the primary target is to reach out to at-risk males at this point in time. And so I wanted to know, are there any intentions or in your future to partnership with any other organizations or to expand Potter's Heart Foundation's mission for young ladies as well?
Yes. Currently we will be targeting males currently because right now I feel there are really in need of the help. But yes, my vision for Potter's Heart is to expand across the state of Georgia and out beyond that to include females also, because there are a lot of issues and struggles that our females youth encounter, and that they also need help in navigating through those things. Because in today's world, males and females are not, they're not, these youth are not differentiating the same roles that we once try to fit into. And so it's being able to meet them wherever they are, and yes, be able to stand across and be able to accommodate young people of all walks of life and demographics. So, yes, we may be starting off with males, but our future plans is to expand to a campus style format where they can be able to come and be able to have all their needs met by not just people in Potter's Heart, but partner with other agency, whether it's DJJ, the foster care system, partner with housing authorities, partner with substance abuse agencies, every partner with whoever is going to be able to provide tools, the necessary tools for these young people to be successful.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Deanne, for your question. I really appreciate it. And also, again, Sandy, great job. Really enjoyed the program. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Kiana. Thank you for the work that you're doing on the board, because I understand how important board members are, their dedication, their work, and their belief in the mission of the organization. So I salute you, and I know with your help in the organization, you guys will be extremely successful. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy.
Yes. So we've got another caller, 470-445. You want to give us your name and your contribution to our conversation this evening, please?
Yes, my name is Marshawn Hodge.
Hey, Marshawn.
Just wanted to congratulate. Hello, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you, sir.
I was just listening, and I really like what Ms. Hodge is saying, and I just want to congratulate her on all the things she's doing.
Thank you, Marshawn. Are
you, would you happen to be related to Ms. Hodge?
Yeah, that's my mama. That's my mom.
All right, then. That's what I'm talking about right there, y'all. Cool. Thank you. Thank you so much. That is so cool.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really proud of
one of my biggest supporters. That's my oldest son.
He said he's proud of his mom.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
That's cool.
I really like
your
show as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes.
We'd like to give voice to the people that are out in the world actually doing the work, you know, and that's making a positive difference in the world. So the spotlight is always on our communities. And like I said, you know, those that are in the trenches doing the dirty work, and we don't know about them. So that's what I like to do is give give people their props while we're still living, you know.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you for letting me call in.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. You got me grinning over here. My cheekbones are hurting, you know. I just love it when children support their parents like that. That, to me, is the highest compliment of being a parent, you know, for your child to publicly acknowledge what you do. So you made my evening, trust me.
Thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I look up to my mom. She's one of the main reasons why I like to help people as well. So
awesome. So cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So Deanne, let me just check the screen. Okay, there's nobody else waiting. So we talked a little bit about how you're going to accomplish your goals, like with your board, with Keon and the other members of your board. Is there opportunities for people that are listening to either financially contribute to what you're doing or being able to help you in any kind of way? So is there contact information where people can reach you or the board or support you in your efforts? Do you have any type of campaigns going, or
so,
how can people get in contact with you?
You can get in contact with us at pottertalkfoundation@gmail.com. We are going to, as soon as we are, our website is in production, so as soon as it's up and running, all our information will be on there, soon to come with either fundraisers and things like that. We accept all help, none too little, none too large. You know, many hands make light work, so you will definitely be hearing about us and the things that we have coming up in the near future.
And what's the website going to be?
It's going to be PotterTalkFoundation.org.
P-O-T-T-E-R-S?
Yes, so www.POTTERSHEART Foundation, FOUNDATION.org. PottersHeartFoundation.org.
And is this going to be a nonprofit organization as well?
It is a nonprofit organization.
It is, okay.
We are in it to give back to the community. And so as soon as we get all our information, we'll be putting it out there, and we'll be soliciting the help of the community to come out and help to raise funds for a worthy cause. There are many young people out there that's waiting for Potter's Heart, and I know that God gave me this vision, and I know that at this time that He has given me the go-ahead to go with it. And so it is, I told someone the other day, there's no going back. It's only forward. So that's it.
No, ma'am,
yeah.
Not when you make it public like that. No,
yeah,
people going to hold you
no
to
back.
It.
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
Yeah, so that's a good thing right there, is that you've made a giant step by going public with your vision. And people get
yes.
to support you, you know. Some of it may not be physical where you can see or touch it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People may be in prayers your way. And so that all helps, all of that, you know, the support.
Every little bit helps.
Yes, yes.
Every little bit helps.
And so we are down to just a couple of minutes left in the show. I want to sincerely thank you from the depths of my heart for the work that you're doing with the children out in Gwinnett County, with your own son, Marshawn, and your other child, for the impact that you're making on the lives of the young people at your church, and for all that you've done, being a veteran with the Navy. And I'm smiling when I say you're an airplane mechanic. I just think that's the coolest thing going. So, you know, you have just lit up my life tonight, and I just thank you for taking the time, for coming to sharing your vision, and for sharing all the wisdom that you have with us. And so you're welcome back when you know, when you guys get set up and you got your website up or you're doing your first fundraiser, give me a buzz. Let me know.
Definitely.
We'll bring you back and hit the people up to make some contributions to you. How about that?
Definitely. Yes, I appreciate
okay.
it so much. Thank you so much.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you so much.
Yeah. It is indeed my pleasure. So we've got about a minute, 90 seconds left. If you would like
mm-hmm.
to close us out with any thoughts that you would like to leave with the audience, or you have the floor.
Okay. Well, before I say anything, I do definitely want to give props where props is due. I'm definitely to my mom. I'm the woman that I am today because of her. And so I thank you to my family for always supporting me no matter what, even though when it don't seem like I'm always on the right path, but they support me, and I thank you. And to my amazing, amazing church family, I know they're all listening out there. So New Bethel International, GIR Youth Department, definitely. I thank you all so much. Thank you so much, Sandy, for having me. I appreciate it for you giving me this opportunity and this platform. I thank you so much and for all the work that you're doing. And so I thank you for having me on tonight, and thank you for all the people out there who sending good words of encouragement and encouraging me. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Thank you all so, so very much. And definitely you will be hearing Potter's Heart Foundation out there.
Yes,
so
yes.
I just ask that once you're here, come running because we are going to need your help.
Yes, ma'am. That sounds like a call to action to me. So with that, we're going to end the show for tonight. We appreciate you all for listening in. Join us again next Tuesday at the same time for a new voice from the community. We don't know just who it might be. So join us next week. We love you guys. Be safe.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.